Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about Roger Strawn. His career has been spent teaching in schools, colleges, and universities, culminating in his holding the post of Reader in Education at the University of Reading in the United Kingdom. Specializes in the philosophy of education. He gained an MA degree and a PhD in that subject, together with his MA in Classics. His university research has led to the writing and editing of many books and articles on issues in education, philosophy, and ethics, and he is a very active member of a number of societies and organizations concerned with psychical and spiritual matters. Roger, welcome to the program. Looking forward to chatting with you, and great job on The Medium and The Minister.
Thank you very much, George.
How did you get interested in the afterlife?
Good question. Well, I've always been interested in it. It's always puzzled me why more people aren't interested in it. You know, it seems to be such an important question. You know, the fact is, whether we like it or not, we're all going to die. Sorry to have to tell you that, but it's true.
Oh, my gosh, you told me that.
We all have to die, and, you know, it's going to happen. So what can we do about that? Do we just push it under the carpet? Do we say, well, okay, can't know anything about that, let's not bother about it? Or do we actually ask ourselves what we think might just happen when we do die? Because there's really only two possible options. Either it's finished, it's the end, you know, we are just a cocktail of chemicals and atoms, which is going to disintegrate, and that's the end of it. Or there might just be something more to it than that. There might just be a spiritual dimension here to us and to our lives. And which of those two options we think is more reasonable is going to affect us. It's going to affect our whole view of the world. It's going to affect how we see ourselves, how we see other people. It's going to affect how we behave. So it seems to me an extraordinarily important question. And just to push it under the carpet and say, well, I'm not going to think about that, isn't really the most rational thing we can do.
Our ancients seem, Roger, to have had a better understanding of the death process. I mean, there were a couple old works, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. They seem to have a better handle on death than we did. Do you sense that?
Yes, definitely. Certainly. This modern aversion to talking and thinking about death, which, as you say, certainly hasn't always been the case. I mean, all the ancient spiritual traditions believed in some form of life after death. So they took slightly different forms, but they all believe it. They all believed it. And that is, well, it's now rather disappeared. I mean, some people will say, yes, I'm religious, I believe in life after death. A lot of people will say, no, I'm not religious, I'm not interested in any of that. In fact, I'll just mention a very brief story. The idea for this book first came to me when I was doing book signing at a store for a previous book about survival, life after death.
Mm-hmm.
And one shopper came up to me, took one look at the book, said, I'm a Christian. I'm not interested in any of that, and rushed straight out of the store. You know, she was afraid she was going to get polluted, I suppose, by looking at this book. And that made me think, oh, there's something funny going on here, you know. Do you have to be religious, whatever that means, to believe in life after death? You know, there hasn't been this aversion to thinking about it. It's been part of people's religious outlook and wider than that, their whole outlook on life.
And there seems to be a distinctive difference between religion and spirituality. People are asked all the time, Roger, that are you religious or are you spiritual? It's really one and the same, I think, but one is a little more organized than the other one. Where someone who's spiritual wants to believe in God, someone who's religious believes in God, but it all depends on whether you go to church or not, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, that's dead right. It's very much a question of language. I mean, as you said earlier, I'm a philosopher, and philosophers are very keen on language. And it's this word, religious, being religious sometimes, that gets in the way, I think. Very often nowadays, being religious, to say you're religious, that seems to suggest that you belong to a particular church, an institutional church. You perhaps regularly attend that church. You participate in its practices, its rituals. You accept its doctrines. And that's what, for many people, being religious seems to mean. But of course, it needn't mean that. I mean, it can be, as you say, a much broader thing than that. And as you say, that this emphasis nowadays on being spiritual—I think spiritual is a bit of a difficult word to get a handle on as well. But even so, it doesn't tie you into a particular set of doctrines, teachings, if you like, in the same way that being religious seems to do.
Do you think dying is much like sleeping in that when you go to sleep, if you don't recall your dreams, you've got 8 hours of voidness and darkness, and then you wake up and, you know, you had no idea what happened in those 8 hours other than you were out of it. But if you dream, it seems like that life continues even in the dream state, and you wake up and remember, wow, what a dream that was or something. Do you think the afterlife is a little like a dream where it just kind of continues?
Yes, I do. I think there are similarities. I don't know whether we're going to talk about what it might be like later on, but
of course,
there's been a lot of research done on what the afterlife might possibly be like. And certainly that research, especially by a chap called Robert Crookle, who did some groundbreaking work on this. He's a scientist.
He wrote on books on astral projection too, didn't he?
That's right, that chap, yeah. Well, his work, I think, is very much underrated. Very few people know about it, except people like you and me.
Yeah, that's right.
But he did some extraordinary work on this. I mean, he's basically, as a scientist, he was a top scientist. He was the world authority on fossil fuels, interestingly, before he decided to get interested in this question. And his method was to gather together reports from all sorts of different sources It might be mediums, it might be near-death experiences, out-of-the-body experiences, mystical experiences, and see what the similarities were. He wasn't concerned with testing each individual one to see if it was reasonable or not. He just put them all together, got this huge mountain of data, and said, well, what are the similarities here? What are the dissimilarities? And he found, as you suggested just now, that the immediate stages of death, if you want to call it that, is very much like a dream. We don't always, not everybody knows they've died. It may be just a continuation. For most people, he thought there was a sort of period of rest to sort of recover a bit from the from the trauma of dying, and that would last for a different length of period for different people. For example, interestingly, the very elderly or people who've been very sick, they seem to rest for a longer period. If you were in your prime of life when you were when you died, then it was a much more sudden, instant sort of click of the thumb experience. You were alive one minute, you were in the last life, in the next life, in the next moment. But the first experience, the afterlife, was dreamlike in his view, because in a sense you could make what you wanted of it. It was an element of the first stages of the afterlife, which were constructed by our minds. Our mind hadn't died. Our body might have died, but our mind hasn't died. And so in that first period after death, we were, to sort of ease the transition, we were allowed or helped to create a sort of world that we were happy with. So you get lots of stories of people finding a house prepared for them.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Just like they've dreamed, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's even some very strange and rather funny examples of people who want to carry on doing what they've been doing beforehand. For example, there's one lovely example of somebody who says he was a very keen golfer. And he says, I can still play golf here if I want to, although I don't seem to want to do it quite so often, you know. So we can carry on doing the things in the way that we want to do for a time, just to sort of get us used to this new form of living.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold, and the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in your particular case, what have you concluded about the afterlife, personally?
What I concluded? Well, firstly, that it definitely exists. You know, I personally have no doubt about that.
Did you always believe that?
I understand why a lot of people, don't want to believe in it, but it seems to me the evidence, and you may hear me mention that word evidence quite a bit, because I think evidence here is very, very important. Evidence isn't proof. It's not 100%, doesn't give us 100% certainty. But for everything, every important question we have to make up our minds about, we need evidence. And I think the evidence comes from different sources. We've already talked about religious traditions. That's one source. Psychic research is another source. And if you put all this together, it makes a very, very, very powerful case, I think. So I do think there's a very strong set of reasons, amount of evidence, why we should think there is an afterlife. What it's like is more difficult. I mean, I think there are indications, as Robert Crookall found, and lots of other people have found, there have been lots and lots of reports of what people who are apparently dead are experiencing. And I think the one general point which comes out is that it's very much a developmental process. It's stage by stage, and it's going to go on for a very, very long time, if we can talk about time. You know, it's probably a different sort of time, but it's going to be a developmental process, and I think it's going to be a process of growth as well, growth and development. We're not going to just stay static. This is one of the objections I've always had against the more orthodox religious views that, you know, we die and that's it. You know, that's the end. That's the
right.
End of it.
It's over.
We are taken into God's care, if we're lucky. If we're not, we're sent somewhere else. And that's our fate forever, for eternity. Well, that's not the way life works in life itself. We are constantly growing, changing, developing. So it seems to me quite sensible to think that that's what's going to happen in an afterlife. We're going to change. We're going to develop. We're going to go through different modes of consciousness, if you want to put it that way. But what exactly those are I wouldn't be too dogmatic. I wouldn't be at all dogmatic about.
When people ask me, Roger, if I believe in the afterlife, and I, of course, tell them yes. I had my doubts. I was telling my prior guest before you came on, I was at a funeral, and I had some doubts whether it exists or not just by looking at the stark dead body. But then I realized it does exist because it was a horrible feeling thinking it doesn't. But when people ask me about the afterlife and why do I believe it, my answer to them is we can't even explain how the universe started. You know, I have done countless programs on the Big Bang Theory and things like that, and I still can't get a logical answer from anybody because nobody knows. And right. And when you add in the afterlife to it, you have to say the same thing. Nobody really knows, other than we have more evidence, I think, of the afterlife than we do of the starting of the universe, because so many people have witnessed spirits and ghosts and all these. They're not all making it up, are they?
That's right. That's right. You know, I entirely agree with you again. As a philosopher, you know, we don't know anything, I think, about anything. We can't.
We really don't.
No, we're back to language again here. We can't know for sure, if by that we mean 100% guaranteed certainty. We haven't got that about anything, actually. I mean, take a silly example. I'm sitting here with a phone to my ear, thinking I'm talking to you thousands of miles away. I think I know that. I'm pretty certain I'm doing that, but I might be dreaming, you know, I might be hallucinating. There's always that very small chance that what we think we're sure about isn't actually the case. We can be 99.9% sure of a lot of things, and it's sensible probably to do that. But we can never have that total certainty, I don't think, about anything. Even what scientists tell us is true may turn out in the future to be otherwise.
Well, with Roger Strawn, we're talking about his work, The Medium and the Minister. Roger, tell me about the title, which is fascinating, The Medium and the Minister.
Yeah, right. Well, obviously it had to sound good, you know, so we've got the two M's, so I'll admit to that. But, yeah, it seemed to me to sum up these two of the main approaches to the possible approaches to thinking about the afterlife. the psychical approach, which is represented to some extent, not entirely, but to some extent by mediumship. Mediumship is a fascinating area. And it is one way of possibly getting information about an afterlife and getting communication about that. So that's one, as it were, one avenue, one road of approach to this question. The minister, the religious minister, I had to use the word like minister to get a title that sounded good, but I wanted to put together the psychical and the religious.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two main approaches, I think, to tackling this question. And actually, quite a bit of the book is looking at the conflict that has taken place between those two. There's been a lot of aggro, a lot of blood spilt, actually, between the medium, the psychic researcher, and religion, the churches, in particular the Western Church. And that whole story about that conflict is fascinating, actually, because it brings up the key points that are at issue here when we're talking about and thinking about the afterlife and whether we might believe in it.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.